Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
We went through our ISO rating back in 2012. And at that time, we were a 5.9. 5.9 means one is the best. City of Pensacola is a ISO 1. The county was a 5.9. And that was the first time since we were consolidated under the one ECFR direction that we did a countywide. It was, at that time, before that, independent fire districts, the volunteers would do their own ISO rating. So you would get a MARAD. You would get a 4 here, you would get a 6 here, you would get a 7 here, depending on water source, how far it is. And you can imagine the north end of the county where the so rural that the time travel is going to hurt you in your ratings.
And right now the county is a 4 or 4X. That's better than being a 5 or a 6, but that's still not a 1. The X means you are not within 5 miles of a fire station. I think it's a no ranking, like a 4 blank or a 4Y might be that you are within. Unfortunately, in the next ISO ranking, as Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety, told the Board of County Commissioners yesterday,
we think that in our next evaluation, we might slip down from a 4 to a 5, possibly a 6, because of the growth of the county. So what the increase will do is allow us to move stations in those areas that we know are going to give us dings on our ISO, not only for the ISO and the insurance and to bring it down for the citizen, but to have a good response for those people in that area.
And in some places, I mean, you just can't get insurance. You know, some places that were formerly served by a firehouse that no longer exists, and they've been trying for years to try to get one back in there. Paradise Beach, for example, I think is the one you just can't get insurance. People are like self-insuring, like it's crazy. You just can't get fire insurance. You know, I don't know how you sell homes under that environment, but, you know, I mean, whatever. It's a challenge. It's a problem. The MSBU, which is the Municipal Services Benefit Unit, we come up with these terms that are so, it's like designed to make you not be able to understand something. An MSBU is a property tax that's a flat fee, okay? Instead of paying by the value of your home, you pay $125 if you have a house. That's what that means. It's a Municipal Services Benefit Unit, which means that it's a flat fee for a service, like in this case, for fire. MSTU, an alternative that they have been talking about both in this context, also kind of talking about in connection with the sheriff's funding, would be where it's based on the ad valorem, or it's based on not a flat fee. There are limits on that. Things like nonprofits and churches and things would be exempt. And so you're running into this problem in Santa Rosa County where they've got the new fire fees over there, and people are, you know, some churches are saying they're going to have to pay a $16,000 bill when they've never had to pay one before in their lives. So it's a very complicated funding question. But the short version is we haven't increased that flat amount since 2003. Well, obviously, with inflation, everything costs more. The minimum wage goes up. The cost of hiring firemen goes up. The cost of trucks goes up. The cost of building goes up. Everything is more expensive. And so even if the county is growing, growth should pay for these problems itself, or, you know, because more people means more paying into it. But the actual amount cost has to go up. That's why tying it to property values in some sense makes sense, because property values will go up and therefore you'll get more revenue to pay for the more inflated cost of things. But if you just keep it at a flat fee and all the prices around go up, that does not make sense. In fact, I kind of want to give Stephen Berry credit for admitting that they screwed this up.
I think the biggest mistake that the board made, you know, some number of years ago when we began to fund fire, was setting it up as an MSBU rather than an MSTU.
Yeah, it should not have been something that is not set to go up every year. The cost of fire protection, if you're going to do it this way, should go up every year, just like your property tax bill goes up every year. Now, I know nobody wants to hear that, but that's the truth of it. And the reason we're in the quandary we're in right now in the county is because they haven't increased the source of fire funding. And so it's been not quite flat, because it has gone up per house it was getting built, but it's been short of the increase in the cost of the service by a lot, because it was based on a flat fee system. So you've been underpaying for quite some time. Now, the makeup is it's been coming out of general revenue, which is another way you pay through property taxes, but that means that other things haven't been funded. So a couple of sort of, I don't know, points worth making about this. First of all, this is absolutely a property tax increase. It just is. You're not going to want to say it that way, but it is. You're going to pay more because you own property. That's a property tax increase. In my opinion, it's probably justified, depending on how you shape it, depending on what the amount is, depending on who pays it and what's your formula. Okay, but generally speaking, again, you can't object to it staying a flat fee, which is completely unrealistic, without acknowledging it probably should be going up every year. I'm with the citizens who said, but why are you jacking it up now all of a sudden? And I agree, that's the wrong approach. You were mistaken for leaving it low for so long. You should have been gradually increasing it all along. It's unfair to make that up in one big chunk all of a sudden. You should gradually implement the increase now and put it on a footing so that it's going to gradually increase as appropriate. Now, there's other questions surrounding what's the right way to fund fire. There's a big fight yesterday over, you know, should the county pay, should people in Pensacola Beach pay more or less? It was a big bickering match between Stephen Berry, who, oh, hell no, you're not going to charge my people for your beach, and Ashley Hoffberger, oh, hell no, you're not going to charge my beach people more than the mainland. I mean, that's the short version of their bickering match. And I see both points, okay? They both have something on their side. On the one hand, it makes no sense to charge everybody the same because people living in different areas put the fire service more at use, more at risk based on distance, you know, rural areas, non-rural areas, based on, frankly, income level in the neighborhood. Poorer homes are more vulnerable to creating fire because of a whole variety of factors than wealthy areas. So making people pay based on property value is actually the opposite of what makes sense. Risk is highest in the poor neighborhoods. The houses are older. They don't have good construction. They more likely don't have fire alarms. People smoke. People engage in risky behavior. I mean, that's just true. But we're not going to charge poor people more for fire protection. That's just not going to happen. Anybody campaigns on that, they're not going to get elected, okay? But that's why the flat fee kind of makes sense, because it's a halfway between charging you based on the property value and charging you what would really be based on your risk assessment. You just have to increase that flat fee going forward. The other issue is, do we keep it as a separate funding mechanism instead of in the general revenue like we do for the sheriff? There's a lot of complexity here, and everybody does this a little bit differently. The short version is yes, you're going to have to pay more for fire service. Is the current proposed formula a fair one that's going to seemingly really hit heavy on businesses? I don't think it is. But finding the right number so that we can eventually get it back onto funding itself through its own funding mechanism as opposed to taking from general revenue, I mean, that's got to be the goal. That has to be the goal. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays to report either. Looks like 98, 90, our normal trouble spots, are flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
One thing you do have to worry about in this whole context is Lumen May, as often he does, just wants to jump in and say that if you're going to increase the price of firemen, which is what part of this conversation, you got to increase the price of every county employee.
You know, for me, the conversation, I can be very supportive, actually, that brought this forward. But we got to look at the least of them throughout the entire county. We have people working in our departments each and every day expecting to have high morale, and they're still waiting in lines at Brownsville to receive food on Saturday mornings. We have people who work at this county. Every Christmas, I personally are handing out people who work for this county who are making $12, $13, $14 an hour who are needing Christmas assistance.
Okay. On the one hand, yes, that's terrible. On the other hand, why does everything need to be brought into paying everybody a whole lot more money when what we're really trying to figure out is how to solve a universal need for fire service protection, which, oh, by the way, the people who live in the poorer areas, the people you're kind of talking about, more draw on that service. Really. If you're honest, okay? So, you know, instead of just talking about tens of millions, we'd be talking about maybe $50 or $100 million. We're going to give everybody pay raises. And then you're talking about what, a ad valorem tax increase? I mean, you know, how are you going to pay for that, sir? So you can give the firemen a pay increase and not give everybody else a pay increase. Now, what's the appropriate rate to pay all the employees in the county? Well, again, that's your job, sir. Figure that out. And you got to figure it out in an environment where people don't want to pay more and they want more service. I know it's a hard thing to do, but that literally is the job. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson. Easter, or better stated, Resurrection Sunday, is a recognition of perhaps the most important miracle in the entire Bible. It is the miracle of victory over death, and therefore the offer of eternal life. Remember that Easter is more than just colorful eggs, chocolate bunny rabbits, and pretty baskets. All of those things are okay and have their place, but let's be sure that we consider the primary message of this important Christian holiday. The message of Easter is that sin brings death, but Jesus brings life. Ladies and gentlemen, he's alive and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, trust him today. This Easter, rejoice in the risen Savior.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ocean Man, take me by the hand, lead me to the land that you understand. Ocean Man, the voyage to the corner of the globe is a real trip.
Good morning, 722 here, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this sunny, semi-crisp Friday morning. We'll take it. Dave Greenwood is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. He always joins us on Fridays to give us a preview of the weather and the flag conditions for the weekend. Dave, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Happy Good Friday to you.
Happy Good Friday to you, sir. What are we looking at this weekend?
We're going to have lots of people on the beach. It's Easter weekend, you know, and I'm happy to say school's not in session today, and I've got all of our lifeguard towers staffed because the lifeguards are motivated to work, and they don't have school, and they're available.
Do you get more when school days happen like this, like for Good Friday, obviously, do you see a surge in weekday attendance at the beach? I know it makes it easier for you to schedule, like you said, because they're not in school, but do you see a surge in people at the beach too?
Oh, quite naturally, of course. Yeah. Yeah. It's when it's beautiful like it is today. Hey, you're going to the beach.
I love it. I love it. And you guys have a new class of guards coming in or training or something? Is that right?
That's right. They're going to complete their training next week, and we'll add 16 more lifeguards to our team, put us just over 70, about 72 lifeguards.
What's your target goal on a summer's basis? Like, putting aside the need to cover Gulf Islands National Seashore, what's your general goal?
What, our staffing for a weekday?
Oh, I mean, like, you said you're up to about 70, 72. Like, is that full? Is that adequate?
Yes, yeah, that can cover National Seashore, Opal, Langdon, and Johnson, and our three that will be at public access to on Perdido Key, which starts toward the end of May.
Very good. Anything else you want us to know about the weekend or beach safety, Dave?
Oh, just always use caution when entering the Gulf waters. You know, it's not a swimming pool, and just because that green flag does not mean safe, it just measures the level of risk that's in dealing with the surf and water conditions that day.
Also, no girlfriending on the beach, according to the plaque, the sign that welcomes you to Pensacola Beach. That's an always rule.
Oh, along with a lot of other things you're not supposed to do, but that, common sense is not all common in our business.
Absolutely. Dave Greenwood is Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. He joins us every Friday during the season to preview the water conditions and any news that's going on. Dave, thanks for what you do. Thanks for the time. Tell your folks we appreciate their work, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Andrew, have a great weekend.
All right, you too. 724 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need work done in your home on the air conditioning system, the heater, the electrical, the plumbing, anything in that vicinity, Peden takes care of all that stuff. It kind of makes sense. Those are kind of all the expertise-based complex repairs inside your home, and they can work on any of that. They've been doing it for more than 55 years all along the Gulf Coast, from Panama City to Tallahassee to Pensacola, last couple of years to Baldwin County and Mobile even, so across the border over to the Alabama side of things, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, good quality work, good quality products, people show up on time. And during the month of April, you can get rid of your allergens, the dust, the pollen, the dander, get it out of your home, stop coughing and sneezing and hacking and, waking up in the middle of the night having to roll over because, you can't breathe the air. In April, you get $250 off an indoor air quality system. Find out more at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N. com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. And we're all in accident-free still this morning. Not even seeing any delays on the big board. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. About 25,000 packages of baby food are being recalled because of possible lead contamination. Fruselva made the product under a Target brand. The recall affects 4-ounce containers of Target's Good and Gather baby peas, zucchini, and kale and thyme vegetable puree. The packages have a date of December 7th and December 9th. So if you've purchased any of those.
Did you say kale in thyme? Maybe go ahead and recall my version of that. Go on.
Yeah. Just take that one back.
Oh, kale and thyme.
Kale and thyme.
No.
Take it back.
Give them the mashed sweet potatoes, bro.
Oh, sweet potatoes sound good. A resentencing hearing for the Menendez brothers is being postponed. A Los Angeles Superior Court judge on Thursday scheduled a May 9th motions hearing when attorneys will talk about a state parole board risk assessment report on the Menendez brothers. District Attorney Nathan Hochman wants to keep them behind bars. And the Pentagon says military airstrikes in Yemen yesterday killed over 36 people, wounded over 100. The strikes targeted an oil port in the west of the country held by the Iranian-backed Houthis.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, that's my phone number. If you want to weigh in on anything, agree, disagree, provide information, challenge, whatever the case may be, ask my opinion. I don't know, it could be anything. If you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to go to get good advice, look at a good selection, 300 cars and trucks on the lot, vans, minivans, sports cars, SUVs, whatever, lots of stuff available. You can sample the buffet of cars, okay? And that means, get in them, fiddle with the knobs, play with the seat adjustment, see if you really like it. Because, it's funny, we kind of shop for cars on the basis of, third-party reports and how it looks on the outside. But you spend most of your time not looking at the outside, right? It's the inside that matters. That's the stuff that you really will drive you crazy over a while if it's not quite the way you want it to be. Well, ask them. They're the experts. Ask them, what do people like? What are people not liking? What do people come back to you and complain about? Let the suffering of others instruct you in how to avoid that for your own car purchasing experience, because they are the experts. They're your allies, not your adversaries. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, John, it's not a frivolous topic of the sense that it normally, because we don't do frivolous on Friday.
Right.
Because we have the wrap coming up at 8:30. Oh, by the way, the wrap's going to be fun. We are going to talk, we got two Tallahassee experts that are going to be in, so they're going to have a lot to say about all this stuff.
Ooh, that's okay? Going to be good.
Jeremy Evans and Anna Higgins, both will have a lot to say, so that'll be good. But if you wanted to do a frivolous topic around Easter, you do it, what's your Easter, meal, what's your Easter meat? Ham is a very common one, right? I'm sure I'm late to this party. I'm sure I'm not the first person to even think this question. But, it's weird to serve pig at a Jewish, basically, celebration. I mean, it's a little weird. And why don't we do lamb? I mean, Jews do lamb for Passover, which is what this is. It's our version of Passover, right? I mean, Jesus is the Lamb of God, right? You know, and sacrifice for your sin and all that. Okay, so why don't we do lamb? We could teach kids about all the metaphors and the meaning, and it seems like lamb would be the natural Easter meal.
I don't want a lamb chop, I'm sorry.
Why?
Because I don't like eating lamb. Give me a good old steak. Jeez.
Okay, all right.
And some chicken
or
something.
It just seems like, I don't know. You know, you get in these habits and you never think much about them.
No, but you do.
Of course.
But
that's all I do. That's all I
do
for a living is think about the things that people don't think about.
I think we've Americanized it.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know what Christians serve for their, if they do a big meal on Easter in, say, Germany, you know, or Rwanda. I mean, I don't know. Or Argentina. Is it ham? Is it lamb? Is it macaroni and cheese? Like, I have no idea.
You know, I'm just happy to get food. I'm being fed. I'm a happy camper, my friend.
That may be the single most truth thing that you have ever said on this radio show.
Oh, thank you.
I know. It's fantastic. Oh, my goodness. All right, more when we come back right after Fox News and local news with David Wayne. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump reveals the U.S. is chatting with China.
President Trump says the Chinese officials have been in touch with American officials over these tariffs and that the two countries could reach an agreement within the next 3 to 4 weeks. Now, the president did strike a trade deal with China in his first term, though Beijing never fulfilled its commitments.
Fox's Rich Edson at the White House. Students evacuated during the mass shooting at Florida State University will be allowed to collect their personal belongings later today.
Two people confirmed dead. Authorities say they are not students. And we're working to find out more about the six people injured who are in the hospital right now. But students who go here to FSU are understandably very shaken up.
That's Fox's Madison Scarpino on the campus of Tallahassee. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 65 degrees and sunny this morning in Pensacola. Now, the alleged Florida State University shooter yesterday was the son of a longtime Leon County Sheriff's deputy. He was identified as 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner.
The alleged shooter was also a longstanding member of the Leon County Sheriff's Office Citizen Advisory or Youth Advisory Council. So he has been steeped in the Leon County Sheriff's Office family, engaged in a number of training programs that we have. So it's not a surprise to us that he had access to weapons.
That is Leon County Sheriff Walter McNeil, and he said the weapon used in that shooting was formerly his mother's service weapon. She'd apparently purchased that for personal use. At some point, Phoenix was shot by police, but is expected to survive. Six surviving victims of that shooting are also currently in stable condition. Two people were killed in the gunfire yesterday. Students at Florida State came together for a memorial last night. This student recalls the moment those shots rang out.
You hear screams, and then you look out the window. There's people running away. That's when it set in for everyone in the room that, like, this is serious. Something really bad just happened.
That's freshman Eddie Burnham. It all happened at lunchtime in the crowded student union. Students last night gathering to lay flowers, balloons, and candles near the scene. Governor Ron DeSantis says he's sending prayers to the FSU community after that shooting.
This killer must and will be brought to justice to the fullest extent of the law.
He posted a video on his X page last night and says he and his family are mourning those who were killed and thinking of the victims. Well, Hope Florida is making changes to restore confidence in their agency. That's according to Hope Florida Foundation President Joshua Hay. He said it was an eventful week. Lawmakers have been criticizing the organization for their lack of transparency. Hay says lessons have been learned and it's time to turn things around at the foundation. Well, Florida lawmakers taking steps to improve safety around dangerous dogs. There's a new proposal that would require owners of dogs that have been deemed dangerous to get $100,000 in liability insurance and have microchips implanted. The bill's been approved by the House State Affairs Committee. This comes after the tragic death of mail carrier Pamela Rock, who was mauled by five dogs in Putnam County. The bill would also make it a felony to remove the microchips. An identical bill is waiting for a vote currently in the Senate. As wildfire season continues, officials in Walton County say a brush fire yesterday south of Dafuniac Springs was contained with no damage to homes. Fire crews with the Florida Fire Service responded. There were homes on the Wedgewood Circle neighborhood near I-10 that had to be evacuated for a few hours, but residents were allowed to return home by about 8 o'clock last night. Well, not the leadership he's used to from Governor DeSantis. That's how Escambia County Commissioner Mike Kohler describes the events that went down on Tuesday during the governor's press event at Pensacola State College.
State representatives were called out as basically being woke and liberal and things that just aren't true. Representative Andrade has, I think, the most conservative record in the House of Representatives in the state of Florida. That's just not a true statement. And so, and I know Representative Salzman is very conservative as well.
Kohler making those comments at the Board of County Commissioners meeting yesterday. He says both he and Commissioner Stroberger were turned away from that event because the board had written a letter against selecting Scott Yenner as the UWF trustee chair. It's 7:35 at News Radio, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or even delays to report to you. No, I'm seeing nothing on the big board right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with temperatures near 79 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. Going into Saturday, beautiful weather continues with partly cloudy skies and a high near 80. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Keeping that nice weather around through that Easter Sunday with partly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees, and by Sunday night, temperatures near 68. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Well, thank you very much, Brooke. It is 67 in Pensacola, 66 in Gulf Breeze, and the temperature reading a bit lower at 58 degrees right now in Milton. Our next news is at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. With the IRS expected to lose about a third of its staff after firings and buyouts, wealthy taxpayers and attorneys are struggling to navigate the new regime. The upside for high earners is clear. Fewer agents mean fewer audits and reviews. United Health Group's stock sank 20% after the company slashed its annual profit forecast, citing higher than expected medical costs in its privately run Medicare plans. Wall Street Journal analysts said United Health's first quarter results reveal ominous signs of an accelerating medical cost trend in Medicare Advantage businesses. Eli Lilly said its daily obesity pill met the company's goals in the first of several closely watched late-stage trials. The pill helped type 2 diabetes patients lower their blood sugar and body weight and showed safety on par with popular injections on the market, with some results coming in line with Wall Street's expectations. Futures are mixed. Dow futures are down by more than 520 points. That's Your Money Now.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Point.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace.
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog.
Breaking news as we come on the air, the deadly mass shooting on an American college campus. At least two people killed, several others wounded.
Another school shooting in America sends students running for their lives.
Tonight, the terrifying moments on campus, gunshots ringing out at Florida State University. Authorities say an active shooter opened fire, multiple people dead. The 20-year-old suspect, a son of a sheriff's deputy.
This is a tragic day for Florida State University. We're absolutely heartbroken by the violence that occurred on our campus earlier today.
Absolutely horrible. The news that came out yesterday from Florida State, of course, just when I had begun this job, when we first moved here in 2014, we had a shooting also at Florida State in the library, if you'll remember. And, you know, talking to people who were just, you know, moments away from being involved in that, and just, you know, it's a horrible, horrible thing. The governor came out with a message yesterday talking about, you know, praising law enforcement, talking about the seriousness of the incident and pressing for justice for the shooter who is now in custody, who is apparently the, you know, son of a female sheriff's deputy and used her old service weapon and a shotgun that did not work properly. I had to go back to his car and get a gun, you know, get the handgun that he used. DeSantis's message yesterday.
Casey and I stand in solidarity and are praying for the entire Florida State community. We're mourning the two individuals who lost their lives in this tragic attack, and we wish well those who are currently recovering in the hospital. This killer must and will be brought to justice to the fullest extent of the law. I want to also thank the law enforcement personnel who were on the scene, both for the university as well as for the city of Tallahassee. They ran towards the danger. They stopped this killer from inflicting more harm, and there is no question that they saved lives.
Absolutely. We know. I mean, we certainly believe that that is the case. Meanwhile, Walt McNeil, who's Leon County Sheriff.
The shooter is 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner. Deputy Eichner has been with the Leon County Sheriff's Office for over 18 years. Unfortunately, her son had access to one of her weapons, and that was one of the weapons that was found at the scene.
Yeah, and I mean, it's obviously very unclear at this point whether there was any kind of inappropriate storage or access or anything like that. I mean, their son was 20, and he'd been involved in the sheriff's department and all kinds of other activities. He'd been around the culture of law enforcement for a long time. So it's a very, very frustrating story, of course, and a terrible loss of the life of two people and other people who were wounded, and the trauma inflicted upon so many other people, including, you know, there are people at FSU who graduated Parkland. So survivors twice, right? And for those of you who have kids who go to FSU, I'm sure yesterday was a horrible day, not knowing what was going on and hoping to find out, you know, just it's awful. In this context, the most common reaction by commentators, news media, or whatever, is to talk about yet another school shooting, yet another American college campus, yet another gun violence incident, right? And even some of the national news media took it as an opportunity to say, look at you, Florida, you're in the middle of thinking about reducing the age of gun ownership from 21 to 20, which was done after Parkland, and yet you see something like this. It was John Dickerson, and I forget who the other guy is with him, on CBS last night. I'm going to play this for you, and we'll talk a little bit about it, because I normally try not to. You know, when there's a atrocity, a tragedy is what happens, like, by nobody's fault. An atrocity is when somebody does it. But it's horrible, okay? And in a situation like this, when, you know, families are grieving and people are traumatized and kids are in the hospital, it's bad form to politicize it. It really is. But the news always politicizes it. Always. And the framing of this story couldn't be more one-sided. And that's why I want to talk about this a little bit.
More than 394,000 children, K through 12, have attended a school that had a shooting during the school year.
Even so, a little over a mile from FSU, the Florida legislature is now considering removing a gun control law that was passed after an earlier school shooting in the state, in Parkland.
A number of survivors of that shooting now attend FSU.
There's kind of a how dare you. You're a mile away from this incident and you're considering lowering the purchase age of guns. What's wrong with you people? Okay. Those of us who believe that the gun purchase age ought to be 18, what do we always say? What have I said many, many times on this show? I don't think that a 19-year-old girl or boy should be forced to be defenseless in their own home because one person or even a number of people do horrible things with guns. I think that people have a right to defend themselves. And this is there's a viewpoint difference here. One set of people view gun violence as evidence that guns are wicked, right? Their look is, how can we get rid of guns? What can we do to eliminate guns? How can we solve the problem of making the world a gun-free zone? That's how we'll eliminate this problem. And I'm just saying that's the view. And if you could do that, maybe that would be a worthwhile view. The other view is there are a lot of bad people out there who want to do horrible things to people, like with knives on a Bolivian plane or with guns. They have access to them. That's not going away. So now why should the 19 or the 20-year-old student at FSU be defenseless against that threat? Why do we create places where people cannot take a gun? And because, again, it clearly didn't stop him from taking a gun there. And why do we create defenseless adults who cannot protect themselves from the person who breaks the law and takes a gun to campus? We'll come back to this in a second, but I get frustrated hearing just the one slice of perspective here. And talking about the other one maybe makes a little bit of sense. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Still rolling delay-free on I-10, I-110, Highway 90, Avalon. Our normal trouble spots are actually looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I used to teach college for about 10 years. I taught philosophy, logic, and ethics. I never felt more vulnerable than when I was on campus teaching, because this was sort of, you know, post-Columbine. I think Sandy Hook had not happened yet, but we had school incidents, okay? And what I always thought is, I'm not allowed to have my gun on campus. If somebody comes into my classroom, I've got all of these students that I'm responsible for, and I can't do a thing to help them. I mean, I know kung fu. You know, I know martial arts. If I can get to him, I can maybe take action. Maybe. But if he comes in with a rifle, a lot of us are going to die. And there's nothing I can do. Why don't you trust me to protect my students? Well, same thing. Nowadays, you know, I concealed carry in the restaurant. Why? Because people shoot up restaurants. I conceal carry in the Walmart. Why? Because people shoot up Walmarts. I conceal carry at the movie theater. We went to see Minecraft movie. Obviously, I have my gun. Why? Because you remember the Batman movie? There's been other incidents too. Somebody comes in with a gun, starts killing people. I want to be able to do something because the police are still minutes away and that's too long. I'm the good guy with the gun. Okay. When I go to an event at PSC, I was at PSC yesterday for their day of activity, day of play. You know, bungee jumping, riding on the swing thing that made me all nauseous. You know, riding the mechanical bull, pugil stick fighting my son. Okay. Unarmed. Because on a college campus, it's illegal to carry a gun. At the same time as another college campus a couple of hours away, had a guy on campus attacking defenseless students with a gun. I'm at college campus. A, defenseless. There's a guy at college campus B killing people with a gun. Had it been my campus instead of that campus, what can I do to protect my son and all the other students that are there? Nothing, because I'm not allowed to carry a gun there. They're not allowed to carry guns there. When we talk about allowing 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to buy weapons or conceal carry them, I know at the federal level it's a prohibition on pistols, but I would favor that. That's why. Why should they be forced into a vulnerable position? So the framing is always, look at what this horrible person with a gun did, as opposed to, you know, a gun is a tool. When bad people have them, they do bad things. And when good people have them, they do good things. And when bad people have them, good people need them. You never hear it presented as another person took advantage of a gun-free zone. Another person took advantage of a known defenseless population and killed a bunch of people. But that's the truth. At least that's part of the truth, right? I mean, let's tell the whole truth. That's part of the truth. Part of the truth is guns are widely available. I agree. But it's also part of the truth that guns are not widely available to people 18, 19, and 20. And guns are not widely able to be carried legally by citizens like me who would care about following the law. And we're the ones you want to have them. I literally, every time I go to a college campus event, I think to myself, I hope something doesn't happen while I'm here. And I was thinking, you know, what if my son had been at FSU? Okay, I've got a 21-year-old. I've got a, he's 18, turning 19 soon. I got a 16-year-old. My 21, the first thing he wanted to do when he turned 21 is go buy a pistol. He lives in South Carolina. They don't need a concealed carry permit. But what if he'd been the one who'd been at FSU? He went to UWF. What if he'd gone to FSU? To imagine that a perfectly responsible, very capably trained 20-year-old, my son, would have been forced to be defenseless in a situation where maybe he could have protected people's lives because he could have responded more quickly than the college camp, the campus police or the sheriff's department could have. Infuriating. But every day across America, that's the position we put our college students in by prohibiting them from being able to defend themselves. It's obscene. They're not the ones you have to worry about. And the other ones aren't obeying the law. So when we talk about campus carry, when we talk about, you know, under 21 having a gun, when we talk about teacher carry, that's what I'm thinking about. Because in my world, the dangers are real. They're rare. Statistically, this is all still very rare. And yes, I understand that having more people with guns is going to sometimes also involve accidents or misbehavior. I totally understand that. But I look at it from the perspective of, why do you force these people to just trust that they're not unlucky tomorrow? Because that is literally all that is standing between them and something like this happening to them. I would rather empower them to be able to protect themselves than just hope that nothing bad happens. Because the bad people are obviously not stopped. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pensacola Beach is a wonderful place to vacation and celebrate with your family. If you thought about having a family celebration or a memorable beach wedding, Casa de Luna still has good dates available this year. Casa de Luna is spacious, with room for large families. It has 9 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. And the pool can be heated. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on the ground level. It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the ground level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly, and another has a genuine jacuzzi. There's a large gaming porch with a pool table, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna at 850-433-4855. That's 850-433-4855.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, where's the beat? Devils,
devils, devils, devils. Get on my elevator, baby, we're going up. Give me that now and later, I can't get enough.
7:55, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. We've got one accident that just popped up on North Blue Angel Parkway and Mobile Highway. It's off to the side of the road. Not seeing any delays associated with it, but I just wanted to let you know to kind of ruin our good record that we had going on today. But other than that, I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Biggins with your traffic on the fives.
It's interesting. Somebody texts in and says, amen, preach on Brother Andrew about carry and campus and all that. Says, carry anyway. The sheriff's not going to charge you if you use it to protect people's lives. I don't let ridiculous laws like that stop me from protecting myself and good people. Oh, man, I totally understand that. I do. I really understand the sentiment. The problem is I'm probably more likely to get busted or turned in for carrying on campus because somebody sees it or bulge or whatever, and then I become a felon and I probably go to jail and pay a fine and then can't carry anyway if I'm going to obey the law. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from. I really do. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Vice President J.D. Vance is in Italy for a meeting with the Prime Minister and Vatican officials today. He's scheduled to visit Prime Minister Meloni in Rome, and then he'll meet with the Vatican Secretary of State. Vance and his family are expected to stay in Italy through Sunday to celebrate Easter at the Vatican. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the U.S. will move on from Ukraine if no progress is made in their peace talks with Russia.
We're not going to continue with this endeavor for weeks and months on end. So we need to determine very quickly now, and I'm talking about a matter of days, whether or not this is doable in the over the next few weeks.
Rubio says President Trump has dedicated a lot of time and energy, but there's other really important things that need his attention. And it's Easter weekend. A lot of folks may be getting ready to stuff some plastic eggs.
Business Insider says we'll drop over $3 billion on Easter candy this year. They say the breakdown is 16 million jelly beans, 1.5 billion peeps, and 91 million chocolate bunnies. The National Confectioners Association says 78% of us eat the bunnies' ears first. 17% start at the feet, and 5% start at the tail. Psychology Today says there's nothing psychologically wrong with you if you start tail first. I'm Bree Tennis.
How many peeps did she say? Does anybody
One and a
peeps?
Half billion peeps. Yes, I heard that number.
That is insane.
That's a billion and a half choking hazards on ancient inedible food.
If you go to any store the day after Easter weekend,
yeah.
The peeps only
are like
thing that's
a dime,
left,
a dime right. a million, right.
The only thing that's left are the peeps. That's the right. bunnies are gone.
That's
the
right.
Easter, the Cadbury eggs are all gone. The peeps, though, there's like a pallet full still there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. My wife loves peeps, so I can't say too much. My kids love peeps. I don't know that we didn't raise them right. But okay, yeah. Also, I will say this. I don't mind a good rabbit stew, but I feel weird biting the face off a chocolate bunny. I don't know why. It's a contradiction in my belief system, but there it is. You
so
can't
you
fix everything.
You have to start at the feet, then.
Tail, whatever, something, break it in half. Don't think about it. David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you are looking forward to that healthy, lush lawn coming up this summer, you got to think ahead about these things because You can't just start treating your lawn right in June and then get a good lawn in June. You got to treat it right now in April. Give NSEC a call. Their Healthy Lawn Program will get that lush, green, beautiful, verdant lawn. That's just another way to say green. In the summer, 8 annual lawn applications, program timed and targeted for your specific lawn's needs. They'll come out, do a free lawn analysis with an estimate, no cost. And then that'll help you figure out exactly what you need to make your lawn a success with the broadleaf and grassy weed control, the pre-emergent weed control, turf damaging insect control, and fungicide. You can also do landscaping with them if you want, if that's a useful service. You get $100 off your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program that includes that soil sample, lime treatment on an average-sized lawn. Sign up at NSEC, ENSEC.net. Find out why it is that the Blue Origins Fembots got canceled. Transgressive Memorial Service, the late service, comes up at 8:20. Also, Julio Diaz and a really good rap at 8:30 this morning, talking about things in Tallahassee with a couple of insiders from Tallahassee. Listen on it.